In Shir 30, we are going to examine the applicability of the mitzvos that are part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael, and the mitzvos involving the soil and the produce, and we call these mitzvos, mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. So, Baruch Hashem, for the last number of years, we have seen our land have a rebirth. For hundreds of years, we know that the land was desert, and now we see that it's blooming again. And many mitzvos that have just not been applicable are once again in the forefront when it comes to Israeli produce. And even for us who live outside of the land, nevertheless, we often run into or actively purchase produce from Israel, and this forces us to be aware of and involved in these mitzvos. Now, it's obvious that not all of the mitzvos can be kept today, since we don't have a mikdash, and we do not bring food to the Kohanim and to the Levium. We also lack proper tahara today, and even though Kohanim stay away from cemeteries, nevertheless, we are all considered Tamei Meis today. One might want to say that we should give Maaser Rishon to the Levium, since Maaser Rishon has the status of Chulin, but again, since the Levim do not work in the Mikdash, as it doesn't exist, then they have no claim to Maaser Sheni today. However, all produce from Eretz Yisrael has the status of Tevel until Hafrasha is done, and this is the procedure of removing Truma and Maaser. And as we proceed here, this topic is really fraught with controversy already in the times of the Gemara all the way down to today. And the question is, what is the status of Truma, Maaser, Shemitah, Challah, etc. today? Do we look at them as D'oraisa, still as Torah law? Do we look at them as Midrabanan, rabbinic law? And in terms of Shemitah, perhaps it's just a Midos Chasidus, something that's not an obligation, but a pious and praiseworthy thing that one should do. So let's not get sidetracked by Shemitah, because at some time later we will have a shiur on the applicability of Shemitah and the Heter Mechira, so hopefully we'll get into all that at some later point. So what are all these opinions based on? Partly on the question regarding the status of Kedushas Haaretz. Is the land still considered sanctified today? Another point which builds on this one is Eretz Yisrael actually Eretz Yisrael in terms of its very name? In other words, are the Jewish people living in the land today? And this entire discussion, we should point out, very importantly, only refers to mitzvos hatiluyos ba'aretz. We are not questioning the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which is part and parcel of the land, which is something that has always existed throughout time. This Kedusha is not contingent on the Jewish people. Rather, it's built into the land itself. And Rav Kook considers this Kedusha Sa'aretz to be a religious value even. So just to be clear, we are only asking these questions regarding the specific mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. Okay, so let's try to break down some of these arguments. Eretz Yisrael was sanctified on two occasions. The first time by Yehoshua, and that is called Kedusha Rishona. The second time by Ezra, when he returned from the Babylonian exile, and this is called Kedusha Shnia. The question in Halacha is, were these sanctifications temporary, what we call Kedusha Lishaita, and they expired when we were kicked out of the land? Or the other possibility is, these sanctifications are still valid, and this is called Kedusha La'asid Lavo. Some say that when Nebuchadnezzar exiled the people in the first temple era, so the first Kedusha ran out, while others say that it ran out when the 10 tribes were exiled under Shalmaneser, and that the Kedusha of Ezra remains in effect today, and we consider it to be Kedusha La'asid Lavo. And this is based on Devarim 30, Pasuk 5, which states that Hashem will bring us into the land which our fathers possessed, and that we shall possess it. And the Gemara learns from this Pasuk that Ezra's Kedusha is forever. But this Gemara is apparently not the only opinion on this topic. Now, Rambam, in Beis HaBechira 6:16, he paskins, like the Gemara that we just cited, that the first Kiddusha ran out, but the second one remains in effect today. According to this, all mitzvos hatiluyos v'aretz should be deoraisa today, with the exception of chal, since all Jews need to be in Eretz Yisrael for chal to be deoraisa, as we're about to point out. Now, many hold like this Rambam. As a side point, I should point out that Yerushalayim and the actual Temple Mount, it seems, have never lost their Kedusha, and I have no idea how that affects the mitzvos that we are discussing, so let's put that point to the side for now. So, as we pointed out, in order for Challah to be D'oraisa, the entire nation needs to be in Eretz Yisrael, and this is based on the Pasuk in Bamidbar 15:18, which uses the language of Bivoachem, which the Gemara learns to mean, we need Bias Kulechem. That means that all of Bnei Yisrael have to be in the land. Since this condition was never met during the second Beis HaMikdash era, so Challah was during that time period and still remains today a mitzvah midrabanan even in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Rambam, who as we said paskins that Kedusha Shnia remains in effect today, extends this same rule of Bias Kulechem from Challah, and he applies it to Truma and Maaser as well, since Challah itself has Truma characteristics. So, again, what did we just say according to the Rambam? That Challah, Truma, and Maaser were all derabanan during the second Beis HaMikdash, since the parameter, the rule of Bias Kulechem was never met, and therefore, by extension, even though the Rambam holds that the Kiddusha of Ezra remains in effect today, nevertheless, Challah, Truma, and Maaser are all derabanan today, and have been so since the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, as I'm sure you've figured out, the Rambam's opinion is not universal. So coming from the other side, there is a minority view that holds that mitzvot hatlius ba'aretz are d'oraisa today, and this is the opinion of Ravad, and possibly Tosfos, I'm not quite clear on that. And even though this is a minority opinion, many poskim side with this view. So the next question is, what is the status of produce that has been exported outside of Eretz Yisrael? In this situation, we need to differentiate between d'oraisa foods, such as grain, grapes and wine, olives, olive oil, and other fruits and vegetables, since even in Eretz Yisrael, most poskim hold that they are rabbinic. So, for example, oranges, according to most authorities, have a rabbinic status. The source for this is actually a discussion as to the status of dough that's sent outside of Eretz Yisrael. Does challah need to be taken off, or perhaps it doesn't need to be taken off? And we paskin, like Rabbi Akiva, that it does not need to be taken off. So the Bach comes, and he tells us that Truma and Maaser do not need to be removed from fruit that are from Eretz Yisrael. And there are other reasons as well as to why Truma and Maaser should not need to be removed. However, again, other poskim disagree, and they hold that once the obligation of Truma, Maaser, and Challah were set in Eretz Yisrael, the obligation does not fall off even after the item is exported, and this is the opinion of the Chazon Ish. So as you can see, we have numerous aspects to look at here. So we'll now examine how these arguments apply in Eretz Yisrael and how they apply in Chutz La'aretz. But again, nothing in our discussion should be taken as a psak in any way. We're really just going through this so we could be informed and that we should know the issues and know what to ask. In Eretz Yisrael, separating Truma and Maaser today is a mitzvah midirabanan, and there are three rationales for this. So the first one is that Ezra's sanctification was temporary, and it ended when we were sent into Galus. So that's one possibility. Number two, Ezra's sanctification is in full effect today, but since we are missing the rule of Bias Kulechem, and therefore everything today has a rabbinic nature. And number three, a little bit sidetracked again, into Shemitah, some hold that since Yovel is not applicable today, Shemitah itself is rabbinic, or even less than that. And when we deal with Shemitah, we will discuss this. However, even though we just stated that these mitzvos are derabanan, we treat them strictly like Torah law. At least that's how I understand it. Now, in terms of chutz la'aretz, all produce that is exported is subject to truma and maaser. And if one receives produce and it's not known if truma or maaser were removed, so we remove it, but we do not say a bracha. And one can get more information on the practical procedure for separating truma and maaser from the OU. So this concludes Shir 30 and our discussion of the applicability of truma and maaser in our time. And next time we will examine the practical observance of truma and maaser.